grant you where I'm at here. I'm kind of out in the back side of Spartanburg over here. Look like I'm in the sticks. I don't know how good I'm hitting the repeat. This house out here to deliver some carriage house doors. Big old thick heavy wood sections. I don't even know what somebody wants these things for. I mean, these things right here, if you ever break a spring, you ain't never getting out of your garage. I wish these things right here feel like they weigh. They feel like they weigh 200 pounds a piece. And I got four of them on here. I think there's five sections per door, I think.
Hope you had a good bag.
Think about that, Lord. I done left it somewhere. Gentlemen here, and I'll get right back with you in just a minute. I'm about to pull in the driveway here, I hope. At least that's what my GPS is telling me.
I talked to you in a little bit, Kevin. KJ4REZ. Hey.
Go ahead.
You were stationed in Germany. Where were you at?
We were at Landstuhl at the hospital there, KD2RKS.
Guess where I was born?
Was it now?
In 1963, my dad was in the Air Force. He was stationed in Frankfurt. I was born in Landstuhl Hospital.
They decided to station me more with the Army than they ever did the Air Force.
But in the Air Force, he went, I think he did two tours in Vietnam. He was a decoder. But, so he didn't see, like, action like a lot of the other, you know, veterans did, but it still took a toll on him, you know, seeing the aftermath of what they were doing.
Takes a toll on a person.
I've never been in the service, but I would imagine, especially back then, you know, wars were more brutal. Not that there were any of them are good at all, but yeah, I don't know how I would have coped with it. I don't think I could, to be honest with you. But, you know, you get thrown in the mix and you got to do what you got to do, right?
That's very true. And at the end of the day, you're still going to go to bed and wake up and put your pants back on and do it all over again. That's either the joy or the sorrow. Take your pick. But some people are cut out for it. Some people aren't. Some people give it a shot. Some people don't. But all in all, it was worth it for us. KD2RKN.
And then you got the guys that make a career out of the military, and they just love this crap. You know, God bless them. I mean, obviously we need people like that, but it's just funny. These people, they have no lives. They just live for the fear, I guess. Maybe an adrenaline rush. I'm not sure.
Well, you know, I stayed in for 21 years and then retired. I made a career out of it, but it was more along the lines because it was, you know, if you're happy with the job you have, you don't leave that job until you have a better one lined up. And I was happy with it until my wife said, I'm ready to go home. KD2RKN.
God bless her for sticking with you all that time, because my mother actually, even though, you know, I was born over in Germany, like I said, but it wasn't long after that my mom divorced my father because of the military. I can't swear to that, but that's the rumor. And kind of makes sense because he was abroad and, you know, she was in Florida. With the exception of, I think she was over there just visiting or living on a base in Frankfurt. And then, you know, gave birth to me. But I came home, I think, within like 6 weeks after that. So. But then after that, they got divorced, and I think that was due to the military because she just couldn't deal with it. And, you know, some people can't, and some people can't, but, you know, at least your wife stuck by your side this whole time. So, you know, God bless her.
I think she had more fun with it than I did.
That's awesome. But you know what? She got to travel abroad, and, you know, and if you're young, I mean, that would be a lot of fun. I've never left the United States myself. Heck, I barely ever left Florida till I got here.
You know, when we first got married, we wound up, I got orders 2 weeks after we got married to Las Vegas, Nevada. So we spent our first 5 years as a newlywed in Las Vegas, and that was a lot of fun, I'll tell you that much.
Been my brother, he's deceased now, but he was working out there for many years. And my wife's father lives in Vegas. She flies up, I think, every other year or every 2 years to go visit, and then he'll come here. Well, he hasn't been here yet, but he'll probably come this year. He usually comes to Florida. And I've always wanted to go, and she tells me it's basically, it sucks in Vegas. To me, I think it would be a blast.
Folks there that hated it, but the biggest thing we learned about Vegas is very few people that actually live in Vegas are from Vegas. I mean, there are a few, and you'll find them here and there, but it's a very transient city, and people go there and live 4 or 5 years or 10 years and then leave, and you get some that stick around for, you know, 10 or 20 or stay their lifetime there. But, you know, what we loved about it is there was always something to do, and if you got bored, you were doing something wrong. KD2RKN.
You're absolutely correct. Like, her father, she's from New York. So her mom lives in Naples. They're divorced, and her father lives in Vegas now. But he lives like way out on the outskirts. If you want to get to the Strip, you got to drive for an hour. I mean, he's way out there. But it's just weird how people do that. And you're right. I think it is all transient. And like, I grew up in Miami, just barely outside of the city in North Miami. And I guess the same premise. I mean, it doesn't make, you know, the bars close for 1 hour at 6 a.m. and they reopen at 7 a.m. But there's always, it doesn't matter what time of day it is, there's always something to do. Unlike now, here where we live, and even in the northern parts of Florida, like Venice Beach. I'm sure, you know, Venice is 50 miles from Tampa. I'm sure you guys drove down there to check it out. At 9 o'clock, there was, like, no traffic except for the police.
Venice, but I know we went down to Anna Maria Island. We stayed there a couple nights when family would come down, just taking them to the beach. And I'm not a beach guy, but it was very similar. You know, by the time the sun went down, there was just no traffic around. I mean, that's when we started having fun.
Yeah, Anna Maria Island, that's in Bradenton. And just south of that, by a couple miles, is Sarasota County. You were in Manatee County. And then right after that is Venice. So you weren't too far away, maybe 20 miles. So you got pretty close.
But never hit the bullseye, apparently.
Right up the Skyway Bridge now with all these multiple colors, it's actually pretty cool.
Pictures of it. I remember seeing about a lot of different colors on the bridge and questioning, like, wow, I don't remember them doing that when we were there, but that's cool.
Yeah, just right before we left, and you know the history behind that bridge, so I think maybe it's kind of a memorial. I'm not sure.
About my time in Florida, the biggest thing I remember there was how blazing hot it was in the summer.
Tampa, depending on where you were, I mean, if you were anywhere, oh, you said you were in Valrico, which, you know, that's pretty far inland for the most part. I think the bay is right there because you were by, like, Riverview area, Brandon area. I think Valrico is, like, right there. You got no sea breeze. So, yeah, it did get pretty hot there.
Get beside of Brandon, the next little town over, and it was, I mean, from July to September, it was kind of like winter in Colorado. You just didn't go outside unless you had to cut your grass or something.
You just start sweating when you're standing there. Yeah, I think that's east of Brandon off of Highway 60, right?
Roger.
Yeah, I know exactly where you were. It's actually, there are some really nice areas out there.
There are, and if you're willing to, you know, navigate through the middle of some of the bad ones, you can find these really good spots. And, you know, that's what we did. We went through a couple of bad neighborhoods and found a really good neighborhood and bought a house there and stayed there for a few years.
There's a couple of guys on HF I talked to that live out in Brandon, Valrico area, and they love it out there. But, you know, I lived in Tenon Assasis, which is between there and Plant City, but off of I-4. I'm sure you've heard of it. And that's out in the country. So, like, your neighbor's 20 acres away. That was actually pretty nice when I was there. I was actually out not too far from 301 as well, right out there by the state park. I forget the name of the state park. But all the neighbors, everybody was on 10, 15, 20 acres. So you didn't have, like, today, I mean, even here in South Carolina, they got all these new developments going up. Yeah, big, beautiful homes for $200,000, $300,000. But your neighbor's 6 feet away from you. I couldn't live like that.
I think we got kind of lucky here in the development we're at. It's a newer development, but it's not one of the larger ones that you've seen. So my backyard is actually, you know, a wilderness land that's, you know, it's privately owned, but it's owned by some farmer. And I guess it'll stay that way until he either clear cuts it or sells it out for development, whichever one happens first.
Got some privacy. Where I just moved to, I think, and I'm renting, I own the home. It's a mobile home that I bought. It's 2 years old. It was a foreclosure. I was trying to buy a brand new one and put on land. And for some reason, like, every property out here that doesn't have a house on it has a tax lien. The taxes here are really crazy. Like, it's $1,000 to get your car registered every year. But in Florida, it's like $25. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. But so every property I found that was in our price range where we wanted to live, it's a tax property. Bank won't lend you the money. You can't get title insurance. And then when I could find land that was, like, awesome, no tax lien, it's like $70,000 for an acre. It's like, get the hell out of here. So we ended up, after 3 months of research and driving all over South Carolina, I ended up just buying a foreclosure that's 2 years old in a mobile home. Well, they say it's a community, so I won't call it a mobile home park. But everybody, some people out here are like on a half acre. I think I'm on a quarter acre, maybe a little bit more. And there's only 32 units, and it's actually pretty quiet here. It's kind of a stepping stone. Between the mortgage and the lot rent, I'm only at $703 a month. In the grand scheme of things, I could never rent anything in a nice area like this for that kind of money. So we settled, and hopefully in a few years, we can find our dream home somewhere before I retire. I mean, that's the goal. And then I can just rent this out or, you know, something like that.
Rented probably 90% of our lives, at least since the wife and I got married. And then, you know, bought our home in Tampa. But when we finally moved here, we realized, you know what, we want to own something. And so we were back and forth because I wanted something out in the middle of nowhere, and she wanted something where she'd have some neighbors to be more comfortable, kind of sort of like, you know, she got used to with me being in the military. And we looked at this place, and the first thing we saw were kids playing all along the street. And as we were looking at the house, I stepped out onto the back porch, and there were four deer in the backyard. So that pretty much sold it right there.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm in the country, but I haven't seen any deer or anything. Where my kids live, every morning I go outside to get coffee and have a cigarette, and there was deer everywhere. Regardless, no, I wasn't that fortunate yet. But like I said, it's a stepping stone since we moved here, and a lot of people say, oh, you should have never bought in that place. You know what? At least I own it, and it's cheaper than paying rent. And when I move out, if I can't sell it for what I owe, which is only $40,000 or $50,000, I can rent it out. So it'll pay for itself and maybe put a couple bucks in my pocket. Either way, I personally don't think it was a bad investment. And I'm in a really nice upscale area. So I think all in all, I think it was a win, because I looked at some places for like $800-900 a month. And you know what? The houses were like remodeled on the inside. They were actually beautiful. But the neighborhood, oh my God, I'd be scared to go outside after dark.
Well, there was one development we looked at that had like 320 homes in it or something like that. And as soon as we drove in, I mean, they were very nice. Each one was on at least a half acre, but just too many people for me. I'm not that close to anybody but my wife and kids, really.
I don't blame you, and that's why I like where I'm at now. Like, I met my neighbor across the street one time. I think I've been here this is probably the fourth week since I closed. I think I've only seen him once or twice. And it's just really quiet here. I mean, the only time you actually see anybody, if they're outside doing yard work. Although, I mean, we have this quarantine thing going on, but where I live, I think it's this way all the time. And I can see the mountains from my porch and stuff. It's just, I don't know. It just kind of worked out. So, like I said, we'll keep our eye open for something else. But in the meantime, like I said, you know, at least I'm not paying rent to somebody else.
True. The only thing I don't like about our development here is it is in an HOA and it does have some restrictions. But, you know, when you look through them, they're fairly reasonable. One of the things it says is you can't put up an antenna unless you consult with the development authority on it first. And, you know, they've been pretty reasonable with me. They just don't want a big tower back here, and I understand that.
I'm sure I have it. KJ4RZ. Yeah, before I bought this house, because I have to rent the land, the first thing I told him was I was an amateur radio operator, and the manager of the park said, oh, well, my husband was a CBer. So she was actually pretty cool. So I did have an 80-meter wire up, and I shrunk it down to a 40, and then my HF brake blew up. So now I'm stuck with just 2 meters temporarily. And they were actually pretty cool. When I lived in Venice, I had to use a rain gutter. I had to make a rain gutter antenna. That's how strict they were. So, yeah, HOAs, they can be sucky, but you have to appreciate them to a point because predominantly everybody's yard, everybody's house is all going to stay nice and clean. You know what I'm saying?
KD2RKN, yeah, there are pros and cons. You know, just like everything else, there's pros and cons. I'm only on 2 meter right now. I've got the setup, the radio for HF, but I don't have the privileges yet. And hopefully we'll be working on that as soon as they allow testing again. I've got two lines on testing here soon. But, you know, I got a J-pole in the attic for this 2 meter, and it seems to work pretty well, even though the attic's spoiled line. I think I'm hitting the repeater pretty well. I don't have any problems with anybody saying they can't understand me or anything. So.
Buddy, clean. This time of the afternoon, propagation's very bad for VHF. So earlier you were full quieting. Now there's a little bit of frying in the background, but it's negligible. You know, it's not a big deal. And, you know, you can get by. I've done it before. Depending on what bands you're going to work on HF, 80 meters, obviously you can't do it because you need 130 feet. But 40 meters, 20 meters, 10 meters, it's very small. And attic antennas are actually very efficient.
An in-fed dipole coming that I'm going to be hanging up there in the next few days when it ever gets here. It shipped yesterday, so it shouldn't take it more than 2 or 3 days to get here. And I'll hang it up and see what I can pick up on it. And for transmitting when I can, I have a tuner that's a 10-to-1 tuner, so I shouldn't have many issues, you know, getting a match on the antenna. At least I don't think I will. But, you know, we'll, just like everything else, we'll try it out and see how it works. If it doesn't, we'll go to plan B.
QSL. No, with that tuner, you should be fine. And, you know, for 80 meters and 40 meters, the flagpole antenna is not very efficient. But if you're going to work like 20 meters, so you can talk to Europe and stuff like that, the flagpole antenna actually is very effective. And it literally is a flagpole that you put a flag on. And they're only a few $100s. In the grand scheme of things, they're not that expensive. And the HOA can't complain at all. You just dig a ditch, bury your coax, and you're golden.
Roger, if I did that, I'd probably get an external tuner and just cover it up with one of those fake rocks at the base of the flagpole, too, just to stick it to the man one more time.
You took the thought right out of my head. KJ4RZ.
See how it works out. Like I said, I know there's a testing session in May at one of the clubs around here. There's another one in Pocoa, Georgia in early May. and I'm ready to test. I just need to go do it as soon as they allow it to for the general class, and then we'll see what we can pull off with this little place here.
Yeah, my radio just blew up on me the other day, and because I got laid off, I just... I'm scared to spend a bunch of money right now, you know what I'm saying? But my antenna I have in the backyard, it's a horse fence antenna. I think the apex is 12 feet high and each leg is about 6 feet. And I talk anywhere I want to. Now, I was running an amplifier. I did sell it today. But even barefooted, I was talking to all my friends down in Florida. Depending on the band conditions, 10, 15, 20 dB over S9. You really don't have to be that high. You just need something that's really efficient, and you'll be okay.
What we can do is, you know, trial by fire. You know, radio room's on the second floor, the attic's on the third floor, but it's got that radiant foil lining in it, so that's really the only thing that worried me. I've got a good, probably about 32 feet, where if I had to, I could stretch out a big dipole in there if I needed to. It ain't really a big deal. I would like to do that before it gets really hot in the summer.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. Roger.
I'm going to take a smoke break for a minute. I do not smoke in my house, so I got to go out back. And if you're still in here, I'll give you a holler when I get back. KJ4REZ. If not, I'll say 73s, and I'll talk to you soon.
73s, Floyd. I've actually got to go down and check on the XYO for a little while.
QSL. Well, I'll catch you later. I'm down the log here. KJ4REZ, 73.
Roger. Enjoy that smoke, KD2RKN.